At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The dead don't speak, but their stories do. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Ben Fields, he's a former deputy sheriff in Electric County, Kentucky, convicted in 2022 of rape and sodomy involving a female inmate. It was a big controversy in the town at the time, convicted of saying that he was coercing women into a sexual act, offering judicial favors such as reduced bail and relief from monitoring devices. Quite a little scheme he had going on there. But did it end there? Now, people are wondering that after District Judge Kevin Mullins was found dead in his chambers after being shot by the sheriff, Sean Steins, in a very dramatic video that we've all seen. Now there's audio coming out. There's audio testimony from one of the individuals involved in this case, one of the whistleblowers, Sabrina Adkins, stating that she's seen video of Judge Mullins, he is dead, having sex with women in his chambers. It's released and revealed on News Nation just the other night. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney. We all knew it was probably going to get dark. What's your reaction?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, when we heard during the arraignment, a lot of stuff came out, or it was the preliminary hearing when they, you know, really kind of brought some stuff out. Mm-hmm. And that's when we found out that the judge had Steins, Mickey Steins, the sheriff who is the defendant in the case, had his daughter's number stored in his phone and had just communicated with his daughter. Like right away, you started thinking like, what's going on here? And then I had known pretty early on that there was that lawsuit going on that Steins was named as a defendant. He wasn't the primary defendant because it was Fields. He was the defendant because Fields was his employee. Mm-hmm. He was a deputy sheriff under him. So like Steins was named in that complaint. It's a federal lawsuit that's currently being litigated right now. Mm-hmm. And, man, it sounds like there was some stuff going on. It's not like, Fields is currently in prison. Mm-hmm. So he's been convicted. So Fields again is the deputy.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is who they were talking about in that audio recording.
Yeah.
And man, this thing is going to be something. Like you could tell it was going to be something when it had, like, that dude looked just way too normal. And I'm talking about Mickey Steins. Mm-hmm. To go in like in chambers and put a judge down in chambers in that way.
Yeah.
Like I think he shot him 8 times. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean that there was something heavy duty going on. And to me, it very much looked like a protection mode type thing, like a guy protecting his family. That was my, my initial instinct. And man, I'll tell you, it's going to be a thing. That's for sure.
I mean, it's pure conjecture right now, but I'm wondering, you know, what did Sheriff Mickey Steins know about what was going on with Mullins and the other deputy who is, you know, behind bars right now, Ben Fields, when all this was going on? I mean, he was quite close with the judge. They had lunch that day. They had been family friends for quite a while. I mean, I guess it's, I mean, if you're going on the layers of horribleness, I guess it's one thing to be aware that this judge is doing these things and this other deputy was once doing these things. But then what more was he doing? I think that's where the question comes in when we start talking about the possibility of his daughter's information being on the judge's phone. We don't know anything about what actually happened there, but how much do you think the sheriff knew before any of this, even before we get to the picture of the daughter and the chambers that day?
I think not much. You know what I'm saying? I think that this is a thing that kind of came to a head. I mean, obviously that federal suit was filed in 20 of 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or February of 2022, I believe it was definitely filed in 2022. Yeah. So he knew what the allegations were, right? So he knew that, you know, there was allegations that his employee was basically using his power and his position to, you know, extract sex from, you know, people that were either under arrest or threatening arrest or, you know, trying to get monitors off their ankles, whatever the case may be. And so, like, he obviously had some kind of knowledge that it was going on. Whether or not he had a hand in it is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to know at this point. I tend to think, because of the response, that it was a surprise.
Kind of caught him off guard, maybe.
that's what I mean. That response, like, just kind of losing it right there, or just, I mean, to do it in his chambers, probably having a full understanding. Like, I mean, he knew he was never walking out of those chambers, like, getting away with it. You know what I mean? Like, this, like that is like a manslaughter type response, where the heat of the moment, you know, that something broke in terms of information and he just lost it, man. You know, I mean, that's it feels like that to me. And now we're starting to see like the seedy underbelly of what it might've been. So
how do you think this then affects the case against Sheriff Steins here for the murder? I mean, just last week we were talking about, they were floating the possibility of the death penalty around, which seemed rather premature for something like this. But now you get into this, I guess it's really going to depend a lot on what did he know and when did he know it in terms of his reaction.
100%. I mean, because, I mean, typically you kill a public official, it's death penalty eligible. Mm-hmm. So they're always going to talk about that. So, you know, once his lawyer, and I'm talking about Stein's lawyer, starts digging into this case, which he has, and, you know, they're going to start uncovering things. I know, based on some research I've done, that they're desperately trying to get the Attorney General's investigation and discovery from the Attorney General regarding Fields, mm-hmm. and what they uncovered in their investigation. You know, so they're digging. They're trying to figure out how they're going to be able to corroborate exactly what their client is probably telling them happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and what was the cause of this thing. So it's going to be one of those cases that I think is going to blow minds, to be honest with you. I think there's going to be, I mean, if these allegations with respect to Judge Kevin Mullins are true, that is like just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a judge that is in exchange for sexual favors, you know, providing leniency to defendants in cases, man, it is going to be unbelievable. And then you have to try to figure out, if you're the prosecutor's office, how do you factor that in? Like, because we do not live in a vigilante country. We can't just go take the law into our own hands. We've talked about this multiple times on different cases.
Yeah.
Can't do it, you know, but how does that affect what you charge them with?
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so it's going to be really interesting.
None of this, it's not like anybody here has absolute power. These are systems of multiple people that have to know what the right hand and left hand are doing of the others to make this all work. So then it goes to the next question. Who else knew? Did the DA know that this was going on? Because it's not, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but as far as my knowledge of the judicial system, the judge doesn't typically take defendants back into their chambers privately on a regular basis for intimate time together without their attorneys.
You are not wrong, Tony. I've never seen a judge take a defendant back in chambers ever under any circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, I've had cases where we're on record in chambers and they won't allow the defendant to come back, who mm-hmm. technically has a right to be back there
you know,
for every part of the proceedings. But dude, no, that does not happen. That is not a normal thing.
You would think there'd be people going, this is kind of odd. He keeps having these female defendants that have, you know, I'm going to guess somewhat minor charges that he could bump around his way. And I'm not trying to make a pun. I really was not.
I think you were.
I think I did inadvertently, but I was not trying to make a pun. And I would think someone would have raised an eyebrow going, it's kind of odd. Maybe what's going on back there?
Man, especially his bailiff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a judge's bailiff and their court clerk, they know everything that's going on in a judge's chambers. They know all the judge's business. Because those two people in particular, like the primary bailiff for the judge, that's like their security.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the equivalent of like you having a bodyguard. That's what your bailiff is. And your court clerk is just all up in your business. You know, in terms of dispositions on cases,
how would they not know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, because like when the clerk is entering a disposition, and say, for instance, that clerk is privy to that defendant going back in chambers, and then at some point during that defendant's next court date, she gets some kind of nolly-pros or the judge does something that really changes the course of her case in a significant way, and that clerk has to enter it into the system. I mean, you don't think that clerk's putting it together?
Yeah.
I mean, people had to know is the point. People had to know.
And he's been on the bench for 15 years. So this is going to take a lot of, I mean, there's got to be defense attorneys just like chomping at the bit here on old cases going, oh, I think we can take a look at this again.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's such a great point because the ramifications, if this stuff starts to come to light, like every single defendant that's ever been sentenced, yeah, that's ever had a trial in front of that judge, everybody's going to want to look at everything that he's done. You know, I mean, because if the allegations are true, he lost his way at some point. You know, yeah, we don't know when. You know, I would tend to believe that it wasn't early on in his career on the bench. It's, yeah, probably, you know, later on after he's been up there for a while, real comfortable, you know, just kind of running shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, starts to take some liberties and, you know, gets away with it. And then it just kind of snowballs. But I mean, at this point, there's just allegations. Yeah. I mean, whatever that recording that Banfield's producer dug up, mm-hmm, though,
yeah,
it's pretty damning. It's pretty damning.
If true, pretty damning. Yeah. And I'm imagining there's probably a lot more that is known that we do not know yet. And I'm thinking there's probably, my guess is there's a lot more people that are going to be brought up in this.
Without question. Yeah. And you know what, man? We're going to know soon enough.
Not going to be a happy holiday for some folks. Be a fun one to explain around the Christmas tree. Hey, guess why? Yeah, let's put the kids.
I bet you there's there. Could you imagine being a fly on the wall in that courthouse? Mm-mm. Whoo, man. No. Oh, geez. Yeah. A lot of stress. Stress levels are rising down in, what is it, Lecter County,
yeah,
Kentucky? The stress levels are rising, yeah, man.
So, threat, yeah, level midnight. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.